Appreciate that special. I've said this every night, but I appreciate once again the hospitality and those who prepared the meal for us this evening a little bit earlier. It was delicious, and my wife and I just can't say thank you enough. So just appreciate that. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and before we really jump in here, I want to add something to what Brother Isaac said just a moment ago. But as we sit at the Word of God, we should invite the Word of God to judge us. And I was just reminded of throughout the book of Psalms, throughout the Psalms, how many times did David make the statement, "Search me," or "Search my heart"? See, David was a spiritually mature man, and he desired that God would reveal to him his true condition. Not what he thought of himself, maybe what other people thought of him. He was really concerned about what God thought of him. And so as we look at John chapter 4 and we discuss some things tonight, and even the rest of this week, and even Sunday, Wednesday, or in your personal Bible study time, I want to encourage you, when you sit down with the Word of God, to really desire that God would reveal to you where you're at. Because then he can change you. But we're going to be in John chapter 4, and I'm very excited about tonight and tomorrow night. We're going to be looking at one of my favorite things to discuss with God's people, and it's soul winning. It's soul winning. Now, before we do, I'm a little bit nervous about this. I don't know how it'll go over, but we'll see. Anybody here ever heard of a man named Penn Jillette? Some of you guys are like, "No, I'm a Christian. I've never heard of that guy before." All right, so Penn Jillette is a famous magician in Las Vegas. You maybe have heard of Penn and Teller. That's Penn Jillette. He's the bigger guy with the black ponytail, and he's this magician, right? Well, something about Penn Jillette is he's a world-renowned atheist. He travels and does conferences. He speaks on the subject of atheism. He's a huge skeptic, and he's very respected in the atheist community, but he said something not all that long ago that I'm going to share with you in a moment. But just to tell you what had kind of happened was, after one of his shows in Las Vegas, he was walking out to his bus, and there was a man, you know, there's a line of people wanting autographs and things, and there was a man who approached him and handed him one of those little orange Gideon Bibles. And inside, this man had written a personal note to him. And Penn had went back and he read that note, and it moved. He was so moved by what this man had done for him, he went home and recorded a video and shared it on his Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And I would even encourage you, I don't know if I do this very often, I'm not going to encourage you to go home and YouTube Penn Jillette, because you're going to find a lot of atheist videos, right? But I'm going to encourage you to watch this video. Because what Penn Jillette did is he recorded about a 5-minute response to how this made him feel. He was so moved by this man. But listen to this quote. This is something he says in the video. He said, "I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize." And he's using that synonymous with evangelize, or people who go soul winning. And so this world-renowned atheist who does not believe there is a God said, "I've always said that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think that it's not really worth telling them because it might make things socially awkward, an atheist who think people shouldn't proselytize and who say, 'Just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself,' how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them? I mean, if I believed beyond the shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming right at you, and you didn't believe the truck was bearing down on you, there reaches a certain point where I'm going to tackle you. And eternal life is more important than that.
Amen.
And what's terrifying to me is that I think this atheist has a better handle on the importance of soul winning than many of God's people do.
Amen.
I don't think I'd let him teach in my church, but if he got up and said that, I might be okay with it. This man who is not a child of God, does not even acknowledge the existence of a God, understands the importance of soul winning. I'm going to ask that you stand with me, if you're able to, tonight as we read the Word of God and honor the Word of God. John chapter 4 and verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. The Word of God says this, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." Let's stop and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to You tonight, and we are once again very thankful for this opportunity to come and to worship You. Lord, I pray that as we look into Your Word tonight, that You would reveal, I pray that You would reveal to me where I have fallen short in sharing Your Word. And I pray that You would speak to each of our hearts tonight. And Lord, that this church would be full of soul winners. That we would understand the importance of the gospel. And we would understand our responsibility in sharing the gospel. And that many lives in this community would be changed by You. Lord, we thank You most of all for Jesus and for His death and resurrection. And I pray that if there's one here tonight, Lord, who maybe knows of You and can recite Scripture and has been in church, but they've never trusted You to save them, I pray that You would show them tonight that they need to let go and just trust You. Pray that You would burden our hearts with those around us that haven't yet trusted You, that You would make it a passion of our lives to reach our community. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in John chapter 4 and verse 34, we're coming in the middle of a story that most of us are familiar with. It's the woman at the well. And once again, verse 34, "Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." I want us to notice first this evening, the soul winner's motivation. The soul winner's motivation. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." And the meaning of this, "my meat," Jesus could have said, "my food." My meat or my food. And what He was doing is something that Jesus commonly did when He was teaching and preaching. He was using something from the physical world to illustrate a spiritual truth so that people could understand. They were a little bit dense like us. Sometimes His disciples and His followers, they didn't really understand what He was saying, so He made it as simple as He could so they could understand. And I'm thankful that Jesus did that. Makes it easy for us to understand. I think about the parable of the four soils when He literally tells them, just so there's no confusion, this is exactly what I'm talking about. The Word of God's meant to be understood. And we see the soul winner's motivation. Jesus says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work." Jesus was using this physical illustration to show a spiritual truth. And I want you to think about just for a moment tonight what food does for you. For me, food satisfies a great desire. Food satisfies a great desire. Has anybody here, show your hand, it's okay. Anybody here ever been very hungry before? See, all the hands are up now. Very thirsty, yeah. I thought about studying for this. Sometimes you hear people talk about how they can identify with different Bible characters, and people will say, "Well, I identify with Peter. You know, I sometimes maybe stick my foot in my mouth." And sometimes people say, Thomas, I can relate to him because I just doubt. But when I think about Bible characters, I think about Jacob. I can relate to Jacob because I felt like I'm about to starve to death before. All right, he gets home, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. I think I've been that hungry. I can relate to how Jacob felt. But think about, and maybe you can even remember a time where you were just so absolutely hungry that you could almost think about nothing else until you got some food. Maybe you missed a meal. What is the only thing that will satisfy that desire? Food. I mean, if you go an entire day without eating, We could try this if you guys want to go the rest of tonight and tomorrow, and we'll try this tomorrow night. If somebody wants to volunteer for that, if you get here tomorrow night and I have a $20 bill and just a cheeseburger and I offer them both to you, which one are you going to take? Cheeseburger. I'm going to take a cheeseburger. And I acknowledge that it's not worth $20, but in that moment it would be. Because that food is the only thing that is going to fulfill a desire that I have. It's the only thing that'll satisfy me. The only way to satisfy physical hunger is to find food. And notice what Jesus is trying to teach is that he himself had a great desire, not all unlike hunger. And Jesus, you could say he hungered to do something. He had a great desire to serve the Father. And the only thing that would satisfy him was to do his work. I'm going to tell you, if you didn't know this, if you have been saved by Jesus Christ, the moment you were saved, Jesus gave you a new heart. Amen. And he gave you new desires. Amen. The old man was killed. And you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And whether or not you knew this, Jesus has given you a desire to serve him. God gave you a new heart. And the only way you will ever satisfy that desire is to obey the Lord. Now, just to tell you the truth, some observations that I've made, and maybe you'll agree. Among Christianity today, there's a lot of people who just seem very unsatisfied and discontent, unfulfilled, just searching for something. And here's what I would tell you that is. A child of God can never be fully satisfied outside of the will of God. And if you're here tonight, and maybe this has been a struggle, you know, we come together for revival. One of the things that happens to us is sometimes we get distracted by the things of this world, and the things of this world do not satisfy us. Maybe temporarily, but it's not a lasting satisfaction. The child of God cannot find true fulfillment in things of this world. Because the inward man desires spiritual things, not fleshly things. And Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus had a great desire. And I wonder if we have the same desire to serve Jesus. This certainly applies to people outside of church that have gotten so far out of his will, they're nowhere to be found. But the truth is, sometimes the most unsatisfied people are the ones busiest for the Lord. Sometimes the people who are doing the most seem to be the most unfulfilled. And we're going to get to that in a second. But we're talking about the soul winner's motivation. The soul winner's motivation is this: to find their fulfillment in the things that God wants them to be satisfied in. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so when Jesus makes this statement, notice secondly this evening, and we're going to be on here at this point for just a few minutes, is the soul winner's mission. What exactly was Jesus referring to when he says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work"? What exactly was Jesus referring to in this verse? What was it that was going to satisfy his desire? Of course, we could look at the big picture. And we could say that the overall redemptive work of Christ was going to bring satisfaction to Jesus. Jesus came to earth and he put on this flesh and he lived a perfect life. He did no wrong, deserved no punishment, and yet he took your place on the cross. Read Isaiah chapter 53, it's undeniable. He was bruised for our iniquities. It wasn't his. Amen. Jesus didn't deserve that, but he took it. And once he was dead, they put him in a grave, and 3 days later, he rose again. And I think about promises where Jesus said, listen, if I live, you live. And we know that we have eternal life because Jesus lives. And if Jesus were still dead, we would have no hope. But because Jesus is alive, we have all the hope in the world. Amen. And so Jesus offers eternal life to anybody who would just repent and believe the gospel. And so certainly we could think Jesus was going to find fulfillment in just the redemptive work of the cross. But I want us to think a little bit more specific within the context. What is he trying to teach his disciples? What lesson is he trying to show them? He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Well, let's rewind a little bit in this chapter and see exactly what Jesus had just got done doing. Look at verse number 3 earlier in this chapter. It says, he left Judea and departed into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye shall say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen here. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You know what Jesus had just got done doing when he makes this statement? He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus had just got done soul winning. The meat, specifically what Jesus, and I believe this, the lesson that he's trying to teach the disciples, the meat or the food that would satisfy him was to try to reach people with the gospel. And you know, I think of all the accounts were given of Jesus and all the many things that he did. And John even tells us there's so many things we don't even know because the world couldn't contain all that Christ has done for us. But all the stories that we do have, this might be one of the greatest sermons ever preached. This might be one of the most common passages ever shared in pulpits. One of the greatest examples we have of evangelism. And what's incredible is when we think about great sermons and great things, great revivals, things like that, we think about multitudes of people, right? Jesus preaching to multitudes. Yet maybe the greatest example of soul winning is just a one-on-one conversation. Maybe the best sermon Jesus ever preached was to one woman. It was just Jesus sitting on the side of a well having a conversation. See, the soul winner's mission is this: to find people who need to be saved. And so when we see John chapter 4, verse 34, what we see is that the soul winner should be motivated in finding their satisfaction in the things of God. But the soul winner's mission is to find people who need to be saved and share the gospel with them. This is just a fact. Most people aren't going to come through this back door and say, "Calvary, I've really been wondering about eternity. Would you please share the gospel with me?" Has that happened since you've been here? That'd be great. Not saying it couldn't happen. But Jesus knew that people want to do that, and that's why he instructed us to go. And I asked Brother Isaac for an example that I could use that would be very personal to everyone here. I don't think Brother James wasn't able to be here this evening, but as I understand, there's a couple men in the church who went and knocked on his door and shared the gospel with him. And he was saved. That was a man not all unlike this woman at Samaria, who was lost in her sins, and Jesus just went and had a one-on-one conversation with her, shared the gospel, and she trusted Christ. And that's just an example of a couple of men in the church who just go and knock on the door, and I appreciated this. It wasn't Brother Isaac that went and knocked on his door. Men and women are to be soul winners. Brother Isaac, you have a responsibility to be a soul winner, but it's not your sole responsibility. It's all of our responsibility. A church that relies on their pastor to be the soul winner is a church that isn't going to grow. Brother Isaac's a great pastor, but he's not going to grow the church by himself. It won't happen. The soul winner's mission is to find people who need to be saved. Jesus, I believe, this was a divine appointment. He went there on purpose. This was purposeful soul winning. He went to this well knowing that she would be there. Think of another example. Brother Patrick Self, who lives in Wewoka, Oklahoma. This was before I had lived there, but I know Brother Patrick now, I think, a lot of him. He's a faithful man in the church, but you know how he was reached? Brother Bob Spears knocked on his door one time and left a gospel tract with him. Patrick didn't want to talk to him. He was about 60 years old at the time and had never stepped foot in church, I don't believe, and had no interest, but he at least took the tract and said, "Get off my porch, you know? I don't care." And he set it on his nightstand, or not his nightstand, but on his table by his chair. And it stayed there for a couple weeks. And a few weeks later, during a commercial, he had nothing else to do, so he picked it up, he started looking at it. And he read the gospel on this track. Next time Brother Bob Spears came by his house, knocked on his door, Brother Patrick said, "I have some things I want to talk to you about." Amen. He had some questions. And I've heard this story from Bob and from Cassie both, And so Bob goes in his house and begins to explain the gospel and begins to answer questions and all this. And he was there wrestling with this man for about an hour and a half, just trying to convince him of the gospel. And finally, Patrick breaks down and kneels down and accepts Christ as his Savior. Amen. Repents of his sins, he's saved. Amen. Now, I can't say this for sure. I can't say for sure that he would have never been saved had someone knocked on his door. but it's entirely possible.
That's right.
Something as simple as knocking on a door and saying, I want to tell you about Jesus, changed his eternity forever.
Amen.
Jesus' mission was summed up, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
The entire purpose of Jesus coming to earth was to seek and save me.
Amen.
And you.
Amen.
And your neighbors, your family.
Amen.
Even the houses around town that you might not want to knock on their door, Jesus loved them enough to come and be nailed to a cross for them. And do we love them enough to go knock on their door? Do we love them enough to go up to them at Walmart or at Piggly Wiggly or the gas station? The Bible tells us that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that word means proved. And so God proved how much he loved us because of the length that he was willing to go to die for us. I'm going to be honest with you. I think we prove the amount that we love people around us by the length that we're willing to go to get the gospel to them. And sometimes we love people just enough that if they come in those doors, we'll let the preacher tell them about Jesus. We ought to love people enough. As our atheist friend Penn Jillette said, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them about the gospel? Even if it makes things socially awkward. Our mission ought to be, it ought to reflect Jesus' mission to seek and save that which was lost. To seek. I asked Brother Isaac and a few other friends this question maybe a month or so ago. And to my shame, I'll be the first to admit this. There have been days where I've spent more time looking for my keys than I have looking for someone who needs to hear about Jesus. But we are to seek the lost, to go to them, and to share the gospel. It is a matter of life and death. There is nothing more important. I believe this. There's nothing more important that we do as believers than share the gospel.
Amen.
And there are many good things that this church ought to do and that you ought to do. But we can't lay aside the greatest things to focus on good things.
Amen.
And many times, and I said this a second ago, but many times people in churches that are active and doing and always doing and doing and doing are still unfulfilled. And I think maybe it's because we're not actually doing the will of him that sent us. We're so busy doing many things that we think we ought to do and many things that people expect us to do, but we're neglecting the thing that God wants us to do, and that's to go soul winning.
Amen.
To reach people with the gospel. Finally this evening, we see the soul winner's master. And so our motivation as his people ought to be to find fulfillment in doing what he's asked us to do. Commanded us to do. And our mission is this, to find people around us who are lost and on their way to hell. The reason Brother Isaac said last night when he called me I wanted to go soul winning, it's so that I can make this statement and tell the truth. But now that I've knocked on doors in your community, I know that there's people around you that are lost. There's people not 1,000 feet from here who are lost. And our mission, your mission, is to reach them. Jesus built his church so that you guys could go and reach the lost and do his work. And the soul winner's master, Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus even acknowledged this, that my master is my Father. And I'm going to do what he wants me to do. So here's a question. If even Jesus Christ submitted and obeyed the Father, why shouldn't we? If Jesus Christ wasn't above going to Samaria and sitting on the side of a dirty well and having a one-on-one conversation with a stranger to tell her how much God loves her, why do we feel like we're above that sometimes? You know, something else that's great about this story, there's so many sermons you can preach from John chapter 4, but Jesus went to an undesirable. Jesus went to an undesirable woman. We could read in the chapter, his disciples get back and they were puzzled why Jesus was talking to this woman. What are you doing, Jesus? She's a Samaritan. And God forbid that we as his church would ever have that attitude. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to leave out all the names to protect them, but I've been in a church before and there was a man in town who had a terrible reputation. And I'll tell you the truth, he earned it. I worked at a bank, and he'd come through about 8 times a day, and it was always good when it was closing time. He earned this reputation. But we had a friend day coming up, and I made it a point to invite him. His name was Robert. Because I just thought to myself, that would be awesome if this man was saved. That's the kind of testimony that could change an entire community. And I went to church on a Wednesday night, and I shared with some people that I had invited him. And the attitude that I got was, we really don't want Robert Kaufman in this church. God forbid we ever have that attitude, because Jesus wants Robert Kaufman in that church. Jesus wants him to be saved. Jesus wants him to not only be saved, but to grow and to be a contributing member of that church. And to then go find more undesirable people. You know, the fact is, we're all undesirable. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, the enemies of God. None of us deserve to be loved. Listen, I've only known you guys a few days. You're likable, but none of us are lovable. But Jesus came to us, and we ought to go to them. Because that's what Jesus was willing to do. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus was all about one thing, obeying the Father. That's it. Whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to do. And we need to acknowledge something tonight, that if you are a child of God, he is your master. I'm going to tell myself again. And maybe some of you will be honest and kind of relate to this, but I have a natural tendency sometimes to maybe not appreciate authority and authoritative figures. I got a little rebellious streak, and it's not good. I've come a long ways. But I think it's human nature, it's our flesh that wants to rebel against authority. And when we think about God as our master, sometimes our flesh wants to rebel against God's authority in my life. But you know the good thing about God being our master? There have been human masters over people that weren't good. But God's a good master. He's a master you want to have. You think about this. God is a good master, and he loves you, and he cares about you. And yes, as your master, there are things that he expects out of you. I don't know who first said this. It's been attributed to a few guys, but it's been said that there are two types of Christians. There's soul winners, and there's backsliders. And all of us fall into one of those categories tonight. You're either sharing the gospel, or you're backslidden. And when we hear things like that, we want to think, well, yeah, I invite people to church sometimes. Come to church never saved anybody. I was encouraged to hear a couple of young kids say this afternoon, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have to tell people. We have to share the gospel. We have to verbalize it. I said yesterday, one of my least favorite things is hearing people say, well, people just don't respond anymore. That's because we don't go anymore. I also don't like this phrase, well, my life is my witness. That's great and all, but I wasn't saved watching somebody not lie or not steal. I was saved when somebody shared the gospel with me.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
And how will they hear of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear unless someone goes? And you and I are someone. Anybody can be a soul winner. It doesn't take a theological degree to tell someone about Christ. It just takes a willing heart. But God is a good master. And you think about this. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Jesus said, "I have a great desire to serve my Father, and when I do, it satisfies me and it fulfills me." And I would challenge you to try God. Serve Him. And do what He wants you to do, and what you're going to find out is that it satisfies you. It fulfills you. There was a time where I thought, you know, if I just get back into church, if I just go and sit in a pew, I was living a very unsatisfied life. I thought, if I just go sit in a pew, I'll be satisfied again. But serving the Lord is what satisfies. And part of that is being with God's people when we meet to worship. But Jesus said, doing. To do the will of Him. It takes action. But when we do, it fulfills us. If you've ever played even a small role in somebody coming to Christ, whether you shared the gospel with them or whether you just kneeled with them as they prayed, just being a small tool that Jesus used to see somebody saved, has there ever been a more satisfying feeling? I'm only 26 years old. I'm pretty young. I haven't been doing this for very long, but I'm going to tell you, in my experience, there is nothing more satisfying to me than sharing the gospel and being there when someone is saved. Or even sharing the gospel and finding out later that that person was saved. Just knowing that Jesus was able to use me in a very small, and it's not me, it's not you. We don't get the credit. We plant, maybe someone else waters, but God gives the increase. But either way, God uses that to satisfy His people and to fulfill His people. And your inward person, if you are saved tonight, God has changed your heart, changed your desires. And you, whether or not you know this, you have a desire to be a soul winner. Your spirit longs to share the gospel. And when your flesh doesn't do it, it brings about a grieved spirit, unsatisfaction, unfulfillment. We're going to have a verse of invitation here in just a few moments, but I want to say this again. If you are outside of the Lord's will tonight, you will never be satisfied. Think about the prodigal son. He was satisfied for a little while. But earthly things pass away. And if you are not sharing the gospel, I don't believe that you can feel the satisfaction that God wants you to feel in your faith. If you are not verbally sharing your faith, there is a blessing that you are missing. We talked about last night how remembering can bring about revival. Every time I share my faith, it reminds me that I've been saved. Jesus was fulfilled in doing the Lord's work. And when we share the gospel, we find satisfaction. If you've never shared your faith, I challenge you this week, make it a point. I believe that you'll be able to understand what Jesus is saying here. A quick story before we close, because I want to illustrate the urgency of our mission. The mission is to reach people who need to be saved. And as we prepare to close, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. Our musicians can come forward.